I'm Cody from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor, SP, and your ceremonial air drummer as well. And your other reporters for this episode number 186 are Chris.
I refuse to set foot on the Titanic. Whoever built that ship ought to be shot.
And Michelle.
We're bringing the circus to the circus.
And Neil.
Haircut here, I'm bigged an extinct tiger.
This episode is full of great quotes. Can't wait to get into it. Hey, everybody. This podcast is recorded on Sunday, February 18th, 2018, live via Geeks.live.
That's right. And this evening, we'll be discussing Legends Tomorrow, if you couldn't tell, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the past week that could and very well will impact future episodes of shows such as Legends, but also the rest of the greater universe, including shows like The Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, Vixen, Constantine, Lois and Clark, Justice League, who knows, all the rest of that stuff too.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Woohoo! GunnaGeek.com. All right, I think we've done with the preliminaries. Michelle, let's go ahead, dive right in, and break down the current episode.
Yes, this is Freak Show. It's Season 3, Episode 2 of Legends of Tomorrow. It originally aired Tuesday, October 17, 2017. Director Kevin Tinkeron, who's done 3 Arrow, 1 Inhumans, 9 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 2 Legends, 1 of Iron Fist, and 1 of Supergirl. Written by Kito Shimizu, who has done 7 Legends, 11 Arrow, 1 Flash, and 7 of The Cape.
I love The Cape.
You guys are nuts.
And Grant Godfrey, 9 Legends and 6 Flash.
Right, so this aired way back in October, like Michelle said, and that week it was a full plate of DC CW TV shows. It started off Monday, the 16th of October, with Supergirl with their second episode of Season 3 called Triggers. It got a total rating of 2.98 million viewers. On Tuesday, the 17th of October, Flash aired their second episode of the fourth season called Mixed Signals to a total rating of 4.36. Oh, that was a good rating back then. And then on Thursday, the 19th of October, Arrow, in its new time slot of Thursday for the second week of Season 6, Episode 2, called Tribute, had a total rating of 2.56. Wow! Guys, remember when Arrow had a rating above 2?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually live plus all the 7s and stuff. So this is total.
Live plus 7? Okay.
Yeah.
I see. So you've revised these from when we did these the first time around.
Right.
Okay. So on Tuesday, the 17th of October, after Flash, Legends Tomorrow aired this episode that we're talking about tonight, a Freak Show, to a total rating of 2.55 million viewers, which was awesome, and just 0.01 behind Arrow. So I think these are pretty good ratings for CW shows, and I'm happy to see these big numbers again.
It's interesting how Arrow and Legends get a million viewers about after like the DVR numbers are figured in. So that's a nice indicator that people are still watching. They're just watching later.
It would be nice to know if that plus 7 accounted for the CW app or if it was just DVR numbers.
My guess is it's just DVR numbers because they're not, the CW is not going to give up the secret sauce just like Netflix doesn't on viewer numbers.
Or iTunes either.
Yeah, but they might actually tell the people that sell through them what the numbers are.
It maybe it's a little inside baseball on podcasting. While they do make stats available, it's only on certain devices. It's not the whole thing. All right, so that's the ratings for the week. We're going to get into the actual episode itself. And Michelle, why don't you lead us down what the overall theme was?
Well, it's called Freak Show, and the legends visit P.T. Barnum and his circus of freaks. Or you could actually take it to mean the legends, which are a bunch of outcasts and freaks, if you will. They have their ragtag team. And our ragtag team has figured out how to map the anachronisms, where they can go, because Mick last time around stole some tech, because that's Mick, and Ray figured out how to use it, and Gideon, it's, you know, he's like, hey, Gideon, can you analyze this information? And Gideon's like, no, yeah, like, no bleep, Ray, I can do this. I love that scene when they're just like, hey, which one should we go to first? And they're like, hey, here's a 6, here's a 7. And they're like, you know what? Maybe we should go to this 1. It's a 1. It's level 1. Simple.
That seems right.
Yep.
I mean, it's their first day at the office, right? So start simple. And it's in 1870 Wisconsin. And Neil, why don't you tell us what the level 1 actually is?
You know, the problem is, it's pretty simple. There's a saber-toothed tiger running around that has been bought by P.T. Barnum. So again, the freak show, the circus, it ties in really nicely to the theme of the episode. But as you would expect, our, and I'll use air quotes for the listener, heroes, just keep making it worse. And this is why I think everyone loves Legends of Tomorrow. It's because they're not going to go out there and solve something. They're not the Time Bureau. They're going to make it worse before they make it better. And they're going to have a lot of fun doing so. And this episode is no exception to that.
Chris, how does it go from a level 1 to a level 4? They skip 2 and 3. It goes right to a 4.
Well, there's some embiggening that happens and some general Legends of Tomorrow shenanigans, as we might call it.
They screw up and they just make stuff worse, and it's just fun to watch. It's a, and you're like, every time they see each other or whatever, they're trying to escape or they're trying to take care of it, they don't just do it. They're not like hardened thieves with a plan ahead of time. They sit there and they talk about it. It's like the hillbilly version of the Time Bureau solvers. They sit around, they josh with each other, they put each other down, and say, oh, you can't do this, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then they make it worse. It's like, guys, just get down to business. Don't do the talky-talky thing. Don't monologue between yourselves before you have to get the job done, and it would be great. But that's not how the show works. The show is fun. The show allows you to just enjoy their follies, and this show is... it's fun. It's entertaining. I like watching it. It's not too serious. I like it.
One could argue the appeal of this show is predicated on them screwing up and causing unintentional hilarity.
Yeah, this is the closest to the DC TV sitcom. This is the one.
I miss that. Oh, what was that? Powers?
Oh, on one of the major networks. Yeah.
Yeah, it's NBC. Yeah, the guy from Community.
They had Vanessa Hudgens in it and Wash from Firefly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know it is. We just don't remember it. So sorry, guys.
And that's why it's gone.
They started at a level 1. They're at a level 4. And then, of course, level 6, you know, showstopper. And then level 8, we have the big to-do, which we'll get into, like the whole showstopping and everything. And then, of course, everything gets back to normal, because again, that's our show. We have a problem, they mess it up, they fix it, and on to the next mission. I would like to talk about Sarah. I know we're going to get to, I want to skip the fight, but I want to go to Sarah because she's our captain and SP. She has a plan, right?
Sure, she has a great plan. It's like, let's go take care of this. And it's great. Are you talking about when she goes and she gets the real expert. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, she has several plans. Plan one. What's plan one?
Just go and get the thing.
Yeah, go get the thing.
It's level one. It should be that simple.
Yeah. And then SP, who does she go and plan two is she finds who?
Amaya. She goes back and gets Amaya because they're dealing with an animal and she figures she might as well get an animal expert. So that's Amaya. So she's got to go get Amaya, even though she knows that Amaya broke up with Nate. And it's all awkward, and she doesn't tell everybody what she's doing. And then she brings Amaya back, and Nate's like, oh, hey, it's you. So that's not kind of something you want to spring on one of your crew members. But since Amaya was a former crew member, I don't know what she was thinking. Like, is Amaya coming back? Is she just going to come in for this one thing, and I'm going to send her back? I don't know what Sarah was thinking.
And, well, Sarah notices somebody is around, and we get Gary, don't we, Neil?
Gary turns into one of those recurring characters that we're going to see for the rest of the season. And we have the benefit of hindsight here, looking back on this. But I like Gary. He's the lovable Time Bureau attaché who is easily intimidated by everybody in the crew. Sarah can intimidate him. Rory can intimidate him. Or Mick can intimidate him. He's fun. And you know his heart's in the right place. He's kind of stuck in between a rock and a hard place here. He wants to help the Legends. I think he kind of digs them, but he knows that the Time Bureau is probably the group that's going to deal with these more effectively. And heck, he's part of the Time Bureau, and they're his boss. So what's a guy to do?
She has him there with a gun to his head, and it's really interesting watching an actor do a good job of a guy being a bad actor because he's trying to say to Sharp, oh, I'm the reason. It's all my fault. Yeah. And it's just obvious that Sharp's like, no.
I need to point out something with that scene. So Sarah's standing over him with a gun, right? And she's pointing the gun at Gary, trying to make Gary do what she wants him to say back to the Time Bureau. And then he goes off script a little bit, and then she cocks the gun, meaning she actually pulls the slide back and puts a bullet in the chamber. So there was no bullet in the chamber as she was pointing the gun at him in the first place. She could have pulled the trigger how many times, and it still wouldn't have worked. So I'm like, oh, Gary, you're doing all this because you're threatened by an unloaded gun?
It makes for good TV. It was just for dramatic effect, I'm sure.
Obviously. And that's why we think this is entertaining and not necessarily serious, because of moments like that. Because
let's be honest, Sarah's a trained assassin. I'm pretty sure she knows if there's no bullet in the chamber, nothing's going to happen. Well, at least I hope so. I mean, they do use a lot of bow and arrows and, like, swords and stuff, so maybe she doesn't know how to use a gun.
I was going to talk about that with the fight. Are we going to get to the fight yet?
Yes, we're going to get into the fight. And then, of course, Sharp arrives, and she sends Rory and Stein to go fix the circus thing. You know, take care of that. And then it is Sarah versus Sharp in an epic fight, because these two are matched. Blow for blow, stick for stick, and it's them doing a lot of the movements because we actually have ponytails, and it's very difficult to substitute stunt doubles when everybody's wearing a ponytail. That was amazing.
It was. Now, Kevin Tankeron, who has directed this episode, is not Bam Bam by any means, but he's still an action director. He can do the non-action stuff, too. He's a very talented guy, but he definitely does action. And to watch this and to watch the action that has occurred in this fight with the actual actors. Now, there was a lot of cuts. It wasn't like one continuous scene, but it was the actual actors. That was great. And then with the whole thing with the assassin thing, I just want to point this out. Both of them were using batons. Neither of them were using lethal weapons. So neither of them wanted to seriously hurt each other. And that was kind of evident in the weapons they chose. Anyway, Neil, I want to get your take on this fight because you're the fight guy.
Thanks, SP. And, you know, I think it's really fun if you're following the cast and crew on Instagram or Twitter, they do a lot of the fight choreography, and Sarah's character has a lot of fight choreography through this entire season. And watching her go through the paces, increase the speed from time to time is pretty epic. And this was one of those fights that you could see it build up and build up and build up. So, Michelle, you're totally right. I don't think they were using stunt doubles for this. And yeah, there were a lot of quick cuts, but I just think it's more like dance when you've got two great actors in a well-choreographed fight like this. And it was a real pleasure to watch.
Chris, you have thoughts about the fight?
It's one of the better ones we've had in Legends Tomorrow. I have to agree. It's not James Bam Bam Bamford level fight, but it was still a lot of fun. And anytime we get Sarah fighting, it's fun because she's a badass. And we're relatively sure 90% of the time that Katie Lotz does as many of the stunts as she can.
And I loved it when they hit each other at the same time and they're both down. And then they're like, you know, do you want to take a break? He's like, yeah, I could use some water. And they're just sitting there at the table having a drink of water. And then they're like, hey, maybe we should check on Gary. That might be a good idea.
Yeah, especially since he has poor circulation. It was funny. So I'm thinking when Sarah's getting Sharp the water, does she have her back turned to her as she's doing the sink? Or is she doing the side thing, like looking at Sharp the whole time as the water is being filled at the sink? In the cup, and so she's, you know, keeping eyes on the adversary, or does she turn her back on her? These are things that I want to see, and we didn't get to see. We just got to see the I'm bored, I can't believe that we're fighting each other at the table.
I would think they have honor.
Yeah.
They agreed to a timeout, agreed to take some water. They are honorable women.
Do we know that right now? Do we know Sharp is honorable at this point? This is only the second episode in the season. We just met her last episode.
We are led to believe she is, and she's not just a stooge for the Time Bureau, but you're agreed. We don't know 100% yet, but the impression is that she's obviously got to be pretty good to be Rip's number two.
And before we move on, we have to rate Sarah as a captain. Neil, how do you rate Sarah as a captain?
I'm going to put her up at like 7.5, almost an 8 on this one out of 10, because she had a plan. The things that go wrong with the plan aren't her fault. Now, would a better captain not expect things to go right, especially with the kind of folks on the away team? Maybe. But you got to trust your teammates. So I'm not going to dock her points for that. So you know what? I'm rounding her up to an 8.
Chris?
Neil pretty much said everything I was going to say. 8.
SP?
I'm going to give her a 7 because I would have gone with the Titanic anachronism. I would have gone there, especially with Billy Zane on the show this week. And in addition to Victor Garber, I just would have liked to have seen Titanic.
And they're right. The food would have been a lot better.
Yeah. Well, I think because she had a plan and she kept evolving the plan and acting on her feet, I do agree with the 8. She's learned so much and was able to just go and adapt. And one of the things she has no control over, I have to get to this, is how whiny of a bleep Nate is. Okay, so the episode begins with, it's Nate's birthday, it's 2017, 6 months ago, and him and Amaya are living together and all this wonderful stuff, and Amaya sees her granddaughter on television. And she leaves. And ever since then, Nate's been, oh my God, she left me. And I'm going to feel sorry for myself. And I'm going to be drunk. And oh my gosh, there she is again. And not only does he get drunk, but he messes up a mission again. He left a book for Caesar to find last time. And now he got so drunk that he ran his mouth at a bar telling all the locals what all they could do.
That's fine. That's just any drunken idiot in a bar sounds like that. Look, I'm going to give him some space here because on his birthday, while he was going out to buy some birthday donuts, his girlfriend leaves and never comes back. So I'm going to give him a little space here, a little bit of that's okay. I mean, wouldn't you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it would F with your head just a little bit.
I don't know if I would trust him with any mission, though.
I've never liked Nate, though, so this just kind of reinforces the fact of, I don't like you that much.
Chris, I gotta agree. The only saving grace is we know this moping around doesn't last all season.
Thank goodness.
Of course, here's another thing that I don't get is he understands time travel. He is a historian. He knows he is with a woman from 1942.
He's not thinking with his brain. Let's just put it that way.
Is that what it is?
He never did. Go back to the relationship last year. I mean, it was the same thing, right, Neil?
Yeah. And realistically, he should know that her living in the present is an anachronism. It's displaced from time. It's like the first level one anachronism they need to deal with. Put Amaya back. It's pretty simple. But yet, he just, I don't know.
Yeah, how is the Time Bureau not rolled in when that was going on? Like, hey, you need to get back to your timeline. This ain't going to work.
Well, they took their one time ship. All they can do is go and do their little time-space door thing into the ship. I mean, not like they can take the ship down.
You know what? I think you just have one person kind of walk into their apartment, open up a door behind her. She's not looking, and boop, push her in. Push her back to her time.
See? And then the whole season's fixed.
Problem solved.
Well, then knockoff Colossus isn't as mopey, perhaps, but oh, did I say that?
That's fantastic.
Who else do we want to talk about, Michelle?
I would like to talk about Ray and him actually being a literal Boy Scout in this episode because he can identify you from poop.
Is that a superpower?
I mean, I was a Girl Scout. We never learned anything about poop. I mean, besides that humans do that, but we don't know how to identify animals from poop. This is an actual field of study.
Wait a minute. You had to become a Girl Scout to learn that people poop?
No, I'm saying that
everybody poops.
Yeah, everybody poops. But it's one of those things. Ray, I thought it was a great scene. He was able to identify the cat from the poop, which is a legitimate field of scientific study. I'm just wondering, has it gotten to the point where Ray has become a Mary Sue?
Well, I think this is more of a callback to when Ray was trapped in what, the Jurassic period with dinosaurs and saber-toothed tigers and stuff. So he more lived a year or so in that life of having to do urine traps and stuff like that to mark territory and stuff. So he probably had encountered saber-toothed tiger poo on a fairly regular basis. And if you're a lowly human, you probably want to steer clear. It might be a sign to stay away. So I think it falls in a little bit more of the exaggerated amount of stuff he learned from being stuck in prehistoric time.
I'm going to go simpler. Michelle, you've got a cat, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you were just to imagine your cat poo, but 10 times larger and went, that kind of looks like cat poo. There you go. Done. I'm going to hypothesize that Ray had a cat at some point. He doesn't know how to identify all poo, just cat poo. And he's like, hey, that looks like very large cat poo.
He did, because on a Hallmark Holiday Channel Christmas movie, he played a fireman with a cat. And then he hooked up with this other woman with a cat. And then they had two cats in their house. So Ray had a cat before.
No, first off, Ray in the show is allergic to cats. He says in the episode, when I was an Eagle Scout, I learned how to identify animals from 170 some odd animals from their poop. Is this just supposed to be reinforcing his Boy Scout, Eagle Scout thing? Or like, is he this much of a genius? Or is it just...
Guys, we've spent the last 5 minutes talking about poo.
I feel like I'm on a different TV, a different podcast, rather.
This is Legends. Hey, we are trying to determine if this fits Ray's character, or is it writers using him as, we need somebody to know something. Oh, Ray was an Eagle Scout, and he did all this type of stuff. Should we just give this piece of information to Ray and have him all of a sudden magically know it?
Maybe, but the dude literally played Superman, so he literally is the Boy Scout of Boy Scouts.
Michelle, I'm going to give this one to you, though. Yes, if they need somebody to know something, they've got five characters with whom they got to give the piece of plot device to. So, could they have given it to Mick? Probably not. Jax? Not really. maybe Sarah for tracking. She's an assassin-y type. Maybe, I don't know. You're not going to give it to anybody else on the team. So it kind of has to be, and they've already identified him as an Eagle Scout. So the plot device found its home.
I guess that's one way of putting it.
Is that the new because plot? The plot device founds at home.
No, because at least with this one, there's kind of a, I get it. Because plot, there's no reason.
But Neil, Ray actually invents something that's useful to the plot.
Yes, the embiggening ray and the shrinking ray, which they are not going to call the embiggening and shrinking ray, but they're totally going to call the embiggening and shrinking ray. And this goes back to, you know, for anybody who is an oldie-timey Justice League fan or DC Comics fan, and this is the crux of the Adams character. He shrinks and he gets bigger. It's nice to see this kind of callback to some classic Adam. Again, he's not Iron Man, but he is. So I enjoyed the shrinking.
He's literally the Man of Steel.
Nate's the Man of Steel.
I'm so confused.
When he's not dehydrated.
It's never happened before.
So, Chris, who would you like to talk about next?
We got to talk about Mick.
And the fact that he hates clowns. I did not see that coming before I saw this episode the first time. I'm like, hey, nothing scares Mick. And then all of a sudden, I guess clowns scare Mick. And it's just...
It makes sense to be something as seemingly innocuous to many people as clowns, because there are some people that you would never think. They're just absolutely terrified of clowns. They can be the most badass of people you've ever met to... They could be someone who just hates everything or is scared of everything, but clowns is really the trigger. Clowns is universal. It can get to anyone, it seems like, including big bad Mick Rory. But luckily, he gets to punch a few clowns in the face.
And that's the thing. Mick doesn't run screaming from clowns. He turns around and he socks him one, right? That's the proper response. And that's, well, at least that's the Mick Rory response.
It took a while for him to get there, though, because he left the arena. He just left it's poor Stein there to, you know, be a clown and juggle and that sort of thing. And then he comes back and then he hits them.
Well, I think he had to get liquored up a little first to get some liquid courage in.
That special P.T. Barnum sauce.
Yeah, let's be honest. P.T. Barnum probably had some good hooch around there.
It is Wisconsin. They're known okay. for beer.
I mean, Leinenkugels from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Who knows?
Oh,
my goodness.
Lordy.
I just want to punch some clowns now.
Wouldn't you not? I mean, that's the proper response.
Let's go clown punching.
It's the Wisconsin. It's the West Virginia version of cow tipping in Wisconsin, right?
Clown tipping?
No, clown punching.
I guess it's better than cow punching.
That's not going to get you anywhere.
No.
Don't punch a clown because you could get arrested.
Disclaimer. The Sterling Tribune is not advocating the punching of clowns, nor the punching of cows. This has been a public service announcement from the Sterling Tribune.
The more you know.
SP, is there anybody else or anything you would like to talk about that we haven't yet?
We have to talk about Martin Stein, and this will be an evolving storyline for the rest of the first half of the season. I think he was just having fun in the first half of the season. No spoilers at all we're talking about in case you haven't seen it yet, but Martin Stein, episode after episode, just had fun with his character, and I think he had fun with this episode as well, where he did get to play the clown, he got to do the white face, and he got to juggle and do the balloon animals and stuff like that. That was just fun for Martin Stein, and I'm glad that he had fun with this episode, especially, again, one with Billy Zane in it. And I'm not sure that the two ever met on set during the production of Titanic, maybe once or twice, but it was just fun having them. By the way, in case you haven't caught the drift so far, both of them were in the movie Titanic, and so I'll leave it at Billy Zane played a wonderful P.T. Barnum. We haven't talked about Billy Zane at all. So maybe, Neil, why don't you talk a little bit about Billy Zane playing P.T. Barnum? Because I thought that was a great role.
What I like about the first half of the Legends season this year is that we are going back and looking at these iconic characters from history. And while we take a look at some historical characters, We're going to be talking about, or we've talked about Caesar and some other great characters. I think this one is a bit of a smaller scale, but I think it's a character that'll has a lot of draw for people. P.T. Barnum is a piece of Americana, the birth of the contemporary circus, something which still goes on today. His impact on society is still felt. And just to bring that character at the start of his career, portraying somebody down on his luck, looking for that thing that's going to be a big draw, taking it from the freak show to the circus, it was really neat to see this take on the character. And I think Billy Zane was perfect for that.
Is he better than Hugh Jackman? Since Hugh Jackman was just P.T. Barnum in the musical. Has anyone seen The Greatest Showman? I didn't, but it kind of made me smile when I was rewatching this and I went, oh yeah, they just did a movie about P.T. Barnum too. Huh.
From what I've heard of that movie, it's basically fan fiction.
Yeah, but it's Hugh Jackman singing and dancing, I'm in.
That's true.
I'll be honest, Hugh Jackman's the man, and Hugh Jackman, when he gets to sing and dance, is fun, so I want to see it at some point, but I don't necessarily want to go to the theater to see it. That's a rental.
Most movies are rentals for me, except for, like, the big movies, like, let's see, what's that movie that, I don't know.
50 Shades Freed is what he's talking about.
Oh my gosh, no.
SP went to go see that yesterday.
Valentine's Day, that was his Valentine's Day pick.
He loves that trilogy.
I have not seen any of those movies.
He's wanting the prequels. Because he loves prequels. Because you know how much he loves The Phantom Menace. So he's going to want 50 Shades of Phantom Menace.
Would it be 25 Shades since it's a prequel?
Why did you do that to Star Wars, Michelle? Why did you do that to Star Wars? Why?
And then we could get 75 Force Awakens.
Oh, hang on, wait. Jar Jar being tortured. I actually think that's not bad. But not in a sexy way. That actually kind of works.
Yeah, but the whole premise of those movies is torture in a sexy way, which means you get sexy Jar Jar torture. Nobody wants that.
And you see Christian Grey go, I'm going to take you to the Red Room. And Jar Jar's like, me thinks that's fun.
Me's a love handcuffs.
Guys, it was fun.
How did we get to this aside? I love it.
It's SP's fault. It's always SP's fault.
Apparently, I was even roasted about it on my own podcast. Go figure. Well, Neil, you know, we've been talking about this show, Legends of Tomorrow, but we are in kind of a, what did we call it before? A spring season break or something like that with Arrow, right? And you had been on the podcast before that Olympic break, whatever you want to call it, happened. But you did not get a chance to talk about the Arrow villain reveal. So,
hold on. Before we got there, because we're not there yet. My final piece of the episode is I wanted to talk about Amaya, how it's interesting. Now, first off, she's back and everything about her totem. And her totem acting up actually does get resolved in a few other episodes. I'm glad she's back, but I really hope, for me, this is the season where the Vixen thing is tied up and Amaya does finally end up in 1942. Maybe I still say Nate's the baby daddy. There's nowhere in canon that says Nate can't be the baby daddy, that he can't go back to 1942. It'd be Africa and it's a different place, but whatever. So that's, you know, my final thought is that it's time to wrap the whole Amaya being on the ship and everything. So, as SP was saying, Neil, you did not have a chance to talk about how there's been a big bad, but then we find out who the bigger bad is. And how did you feel about all those events?
I actually really like that, because if you take a look at Richard Dragon from the comics, he is a major Arrow villain. I actually like where it went for the second half of the season, and it makes sense. Did I have some issues with the last episode? Especially William running to that theater and throwing himself. I had some real issues with some of that writing, stuff that we just didn't need. But do I like where we ended up? Yeah, definitely. I think we ended up in a good place. And I think the back end of the season here is going to be all out war. I mean, the pieces have all been moved into the right place. I think we can take Anatoly off the board. I think we can take Black Siren off the board. And yeah, it's going to be an all out war for Star City. And I like where we're headed. I even think, you know, with the schism that we have between the two halves of Team Arrow and Vigilante being taken out of the picture, likely going to take, you know, the second half of Team Arrow, or WTA, as you called it before, Michelle, out of the picture. It sets up perfect for what we're doing after the break as well. So happy with where we're going.
I think it'll be a big part of how they step off with the next episode on where they go for the last few episodes of the season. So I hate to say we'll see where it takes us. I think you verbalized exactly what our concerns were with the build up to Michael Emerson's departure and Kirk's coming in as the big bad. I think it could have been written better. I think there could have been some lead up scenes coming up to it, but it is what it is right now. And the whole William thing that chafed me to no end, but you know, like I said, it is what it is. I'm repeating myself a little bit there, but we'll see where the season takes us. And you know, if they keep up the action, yeah, that's at least something to keep you involved no matter where the story is. And that is something to look forward to, because they did a good job in several of the episodes leading up to it.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with the Black Siren storyline. They keep flip-flopping back and forth. And at this point, I don't think she can have a redemption arc for outright killing Vigilante. And I'm just wondering where Lance is going to end up. I mean, he's going down a very dark, dark path, especially with her now tied up in the back of his car. And again, I think we're going to clear a lot of pieces off the table in one way or another in the second half of this year. So as we roll into next season, I'm expecting a lot lighter cast load. And again, we've talked about this at the beginning. With the ratings not being where they were, I think they need to start trimming some of the budget as well, and trimming the number of actors potentially is a way to do that as well.
Yeah, and I think getting rid of some of the ones that aren't needed, we're going to start seeing that. I think we honestly have all theorized Thea's gone once Roy comes back and takes her away. So you're starting to see the beginning of that, and killing off some of the bad guys, specifically Laurel's character, because Black Siren being irredeemable, those are all first steps towards trimming the cast a bit.
Well, yeah. So Quentin is the deputy mayor, so it's okay if he has anybody tied up in the back of his car, because he's just an officer of the peace at that point, right? So, I mean, you know, hey. But we've talked about how the show might be on its final season. There's been no announcement that I've seen yet, unless I missed something in the news, to say that the show is going to be renewed for next year. However, there is the news that gives it a little bit of hope, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So I don't know. We'll see about that. But yeah, the show has some concerns. I just hope that it doesn't be renewed and then become a complete joke next year. So I hope they keep up the strong storyline, the cornerstone of the CWDC universe, which even was said in this episode that we're talking about in Legends of Tomorrow. There was a picture of the two sisters and Oliver there. So Oliver was even alluded to in this episode. So, you know, he's a strong part of how this whole universe came together.
I'm really hoping that they stick the landing. It's had a rough start. There's been some good promise here and there. I'm just hoping they can bring it all together. Unfortunately, we're not talking about Arrow next week because Arrow is still on a break.
Thanks, Olympics.
Instead, we're talking to go on to episode 3 of Legends of Tomorrow called Zari. It originally aired Tuesday, October 24, 2017. The Legends try to protect an outlaw named Zari in order to capture a rogue time traveler. Directed by Marzi Almas, written by James Egan and Ray Utarnichet.
Looking forward to you, Zari. In the meantime, it's time to get into some news. Live from floor 52 on Earth 2 of the Starling Tribune in the middle of Star City, we have some great news from the past week across all of the CWDC properties, and we're going to start with something that we've been looking forward to for years. Neil?
SP, you nailed it, and I'm physically excited for this because Arsenal, Red Arrow, Roy Harper, Speedy, like the real Speedy, not Thea Queen, is coming back next episode. If you are a longtime hardcore Green Arrow fan, there is nothing better than seeing Roy Harper and Oliver Queen team up, the red and the green. It is perfect. And we're getting Roy back next episode. The synopsis is that Oliver and Thea are shocked to hear that Roy Harper is back in Star City. However, when they discover the circumstances of Roy's return, Oliver and Thea realize that Roy's in trouble and jump in to save him. And we were just talking about this, how they're going to start mixing up the cast and crew. Whether or not we're getting him back for the long term, I don't think anybody expects to see him as a regular going forward, but it is going to be great to have him back this week.
It's going to be awesome.
Indeed. Now, Michelle, you have some information on when all these shows return.
Yes, we have breaks, and it's like, when's everything coming back? Well, Supergirl isn't coming back until April 16th. That's because Legends is in that Monday 8 p.m. slot until April. The Flash comes back February 27th. Black Lightning comes back February 27th as well. And our Arrow comes back March 1st.
So basically all after the Olympics.
Yes. And I love curling. Any of you guys love curling?
I'm starting to learn it.
Neil, do you play curling? I mean, you're Canadian, so.
I have curled in the past. My dad curled, but I am not a frequent curler. It's funny, actually. We had, I think it was middle school or junior high curling.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's your position when you play? What, are you one of the guys with the brooms or do you throw the disc?
No, one of the guys with the brooms. I don't have nearly enough control on the rock, so.
Nice. Well, and for all your curling needs, Neil is now your expert. So go ahead, hit him up on Twitter at Neil isn't Twitty.
Thanks, SP.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to El Presidente on the network and the Gonna Geek curling spinoff.
That'd be awesome. If you could actually do the color for the broadcast, that would be awesome. That would be some great live action.
Kind of like a Riff Tracks.
That would, oh, a Riff Track curling match. That, oh, we're still going to do that.
Ooh, and to drive the views to it, we can nickname the podcast Hard. Just leave that.
I know. I love it. I mean, it's like you can also start it to realize what that word is in the other languages because you just hear them say it. And then all of a sudden the speakers are just like, it's great. We have more news, right, SP?
We do. I think before we leave curling, just want to say maybe one of the appealing things to it is the fact that anybody could actually do it. It's not something like you have to train for a biathlon or something like that. Anybody could curl. So you too could be an Olympic curler. And if you want to do that, if that's your dream for your country of choice, looking at you, New Zealand and Australia, we'd love to have you part of the Winter Olympics. Now, Chris. As I alluded to before, there are some schedule changes afoot for the CW network in the fall, so after we get done with this season, that might impact the possibility of renewal for a couple of these shows.
Right you are, SP. We've looked at a lot of the show lineups for the CW, and we've noticed, man, they don't have enough time slots to fit all the shows they've got right now, which is why we see things like with Legends Tomorrow right now, where it's sharing a time slot with Supergirl. Well, CW might be opening up some more spaces, and while they've been firmly committed to the fact they don't want to air more than a few superhero shows at one time, it might spread things out a little bit so that they don't have to split time slots. They have announced that beginning this fall, the Monday through Friday primetime schedule will be expanded to include a sixth night of Sunday, meaning they will now offer 12 hours of primetime series each week instead of the regular 10. So that's another two time slots where you can fit stuff in. So who knows what that means, and also that need for more time slots could save Arrow.
Do we want Arrow to be saved?
Depends on how they do it. If you do a 13-episode condensed arc, I think it could be really good.
But then you wouldn't need the extra time slot.
Oh, they got a whole bunch of stuff that they are doing. The Charmed reboot and some other stuff. They have ordered a lot more pilots than they did last year. So they have the material to fill those 2 hours and cancel some of the things that they have.
So basically, we're no better off than where we were before this story with an Arrow renewal for next year.
I'm saying that it's possible. It does give it a little bit more of hope because there is that extra spot to do something. But yeah.
Okay.
We're hoping.
Who here watched the original Charmed?
Me. I did. I don't know how I feel about the Charmed reboot.
Well, everything's getting rebooted these days, so just wait a while and your favorite show will return, whether you want it to or not.
Except Firefly.
Oh.
Excited about the Greatest American Hero reboot. That's the one I'm waiting for.
Especially after, what's the actor's name that played him? He was obliterated in the Flash episode. That was kind of fun.
Yep. He was the preacher.
All right. Michelle, this is something that has been near and dear to your heart for a while. You have some John Constantine news.
Yes, this week's Legends was one of the best. Constantine was on it. It was wonderful. The chemistry, he's just amazing. Well, John Constantine will be coming back. He will be coming back in an episode called Necromancing the Stone, which is set to air in about 5 weeks. So maybe.
That's a great episode title.
I know. I was thinking back to the movie. It's been probably 2 decades since I've seen Romancing the Stone. Danny DeVito and Douglas. Ah, this makes me want to go watch that movie before this episode comes out, even though it's probably got nothing to do with it.
I don't want to say too much in case someone hasn't watched this week's Legends, which is called Daddy Darkest. It was, oh God, it was great. I can't wait to talk about that episode when we get there.
I've been watching curling, so I haven't had a chance to watch it. Now, Neil, our resident toy news guy, you had messaged us some great pictures throughout the week, so I know you're in the know with the toys. What do you got for us this week?
Well, for those of you that are into collectibles, this week is the San Diego Comic-Con of the toy world. That's right. It is New York Toy Fair 2018 this week. My RSS feed has been exploding with toy news. Great coverage on websites like Toy Arc, for example, have just been cranking out the news all week. And if you follow Funko on Instagram or other forms of social media, they have been putting out a constant stream of new Funkos. Now, as far as the DC Universe goes, there were no specific DC Funko Pops released. However, there is finally a Smallville set of Funko Pops. There are 2 Clark Kents, one from the pilot, where he had the S spray painted on his shirt with the green kryptonite necklace, and another one from the very last episode, where he actually pulls his shirt apart with the S underneath from the proper Superman. So it was great parallel, the very first, the pilot, the very last. We've also got Lois Lane, Lex Luthor, and the one that I'm going to make sure I get, Green Arrow. They're slated for May of this year, so watch your local toy stores or online vendors for those.
So, Neil, a couple questions for you. First of all, how many Pop Funko figures do you have right now?
It's best not to count.
I'm in the same boat, Neil.
Okay, so, gentlemen, both of you, how many have you had to part with?
None so far.
None? I've torn apart a couple for parts for customs.
Yeah, how many customs do you have, Neil? Make us all jealous because of your very talented significant other.
Well, listen, if anybody wants Wash's body, so a headless Funko holding a T-Rex, or the cigarette smoking man's head, because his body has been used from the X-Files, listen, I got spare parts. Those are just lying around right now. Oh, and I think we've got a Doomsday head lying around as well. So, you know, have at her.
That is the start of a horror movie.
Oh, brought to you by Neil.
I want someone to make this movie now, or at least a trailer.
How many fanfic horror movies have there legitimately been made?
A bajillion.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Neil, thank you very much for that view and that trip down collectibles. We look forward to your future reports as they are available. In the meantime, Chris, we are part of a wonderful Gonna Geek network. Neil's been a part of it for years, as well as you and I. What is happening on the network this week?
Well, we like to remind you guys, there's a bunch of shows in the network, 25 plus, and we obviously can't go through each week and say, hey, check out all of these shows and list off all the things that we're doing. So we like to give you a taste of just one other show on the network and say, hey, maybe you guys should go check this one out. And this week, I want to talk to you guys about the Operation Pug podcast, episode 53, The Wakanda Cast. This week, video games, Star Wars, Black Panther, and a talk about streaming culture and toxicity. So go check that out. GonnaGeekNetwork.com, click on the Operation Pug logo, and that'll take you directly to their latest shows.
The Pugcast is always fun to listen to.
It really is. I've had a lot of fun with it in the past, listening to it as well. But looking at the time and looking at where we are in the show notes, I think that is going to wrap us up. So a big thank you to all the live listeners that participate in the chat room over at Geeks.live, and also to those of you that download the podcast at a later date or replay the video version of it. Don't forget, you can find the podcast at startingtribune.com and youtube.com/gonnageek for the video version.
Remember, you can always watch us live as we record at www.geeks.live at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific for you guys on the West Coast on Sundays. Also, just like the podcast that we just talked about, you can find all of our past shows and everything else over at the Gonna Geek Network.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, this brings us to the end of a very lively episode. Neil, it was great to see you again. Hopefully we can see more of you in future episodes. That would be great.
Always fun to drop by, Michelle. And guys, thanks for extending the invite. It's fun to stop by and talk legends.
So any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag bring back the Titanic.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag clown punching.
At Neil Isn't Witty.
Hashtag 50 Shades of Jar Jar.
Well done, sir. Well done. You literally silenced the podcast. That is.
Listener, the reason we were silent for so long was because we were all off mic laughing our butts off.
Sorry, guys. I had to.
It had to be done.
I have to follow that. Thanks a lot, Neil. Thanks a lot. Oh. And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag ID that poop. Oracle, I think we're done here.
Absolutely.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.